Well, let's say I was watching TV, okay?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember a thing I
really
watched.
What do you mean by that? What was on the TV?
I don't remember a thing I watched, but must have been good. I don't know.
Actually, that means he was sleeping in front of the TV.
Yeah.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Marty, and Michael, the virtual Youper. Tonight, it's peak week in New Hampshire. Marty reviews the GoPro Hero 3, and we have a new iPhone owner amongst us. All that and more on Late Night. QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in southwest New Hampshire.
Every day!
Here's Joel, Barry, Marty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 111. From the southwest corner where it's peak week, I am Barry J.
Aardvark.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the wet area of central New York, the Tug Hill Plateau, this is Barty.
And from the wet and cool suburbs of Copper Harbor, I'm Michael, the virtual Youper.
And yes, for New England area, the Monadnock area, it is peak week. The colors are beautiful, but it was a cloudy day yesterday and a rainy day today, so I'm afraid I'm going to be missing most of peak week. Yesterday, my wife wanted to go to an apple a press
orchard.
It's an apple orchard, but they make apple cider. And they have a press there that you can watch it and everything. And she wanted to go there because it's unpasteurized apple cider as opposed to pasteurized, which is the only thing you can get in the stores these days. So we
one
watched.
One of those secret sources of real hard cider.
Yeah, well, yeah. Leave it in the refrigerator for a couple of weeks. And so we went there and then we took a. There was this thing called. We saw it on Chronicle and it's a byway called the Currier and Ives Byway. And it goes up the middle, basically dead up the middle of New Hampshire from Hopkinton up to Franklin. And, you know, so we decided, oh, let's take that. It's actually pretty much Route 127. So we go up there, and as soon as we got about 10 miles away from Route 89, the Interstate 89, which goes east and west through there. We were heading north. Cell service died. I mean, the central of New Hampshire has no cell service whatsoever.
God bless him for that.
Yeah, I mean, you could go along that road forever, and it's not a major road, still, not a single bit of a. Signal whatsoever you could find there. So it was okay. It was gray, but I wouldn't really call it a scenic byway. Anyway, at least the Currier and Ives one, it's more like a scenic byway for, Section 6 housing? Because some of the towns we were going through, they were it was interesting. To say the least. There was a couple places where it looked nice, and you could almost tell that you could almost see the mountains if you could be on somebody else's property maybe to look at the mountains, but you couldn't see them from the road anywhere you were. And we ended up in a little town called Franklin up at the top, which was
not that little a town.
Yeah, well, it's pretty depressing.
Relatives in Franklin.
Really? Have they had some problems in Franklin? Because at least the section of town we were in was pretty depressed.
Yeah, they have. They have. It's there's not a lot of industry north of Concord, so yeah. Most of the population is pretty much headed south and pretty much run afoul of mass holes heading north.
Mm.
So you know the whole southern half of New Hampshire, you know, pretty well has a pretty good booming economy, yeah. But you know has to deal with like overcrowding and you know higher prices, higher taxes, and all that kind of stuff compared with the northern half, which doesn't really have much employment, you know, but it has a lot of picturesque beauty and a lot of open land. Franklin was a city that was very, very prosperous early on, before the mass hole invasion occurred, you know.
Okay.
But it doesn't really have much industry any longer.
Now, it looks like it used to be a railway station of some sort, and also it's got a hydroelectric dam, I think, there.
Yeah. Yeah, there used to be a big hydro dam in Bow, New Hampshire, just south of Concord. And there used to be a small railroad that ran from Concord to Warner, and possibly a little bit beyond. Hmm. And a lot of the original tracks, the last time, well, back in the mid-70s, they were still there. You could follow them, and part of the tracks went through farmers' fields, but you could continue on and take the tracks from Concord all the way to Warner.
Oh, wow.
Where they kind of ended, because 89 kind of wiped out a big chunk of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Franklin was kind of an out-of-the-way place once the interstates moved in.
Hmm.
That's what was the big thing that killed Franklin, you know, because once 93 went up past and 89 went up into Vermont, it really kind of left Franklin kind of out in the cold.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it seemed like.
Route 4 goes up through Franklin, but Route 3 goes off to White River Junction.
Right, yeah, they were the two routes we were kind of, and then we kind of meandered back. We ended up going through New London, and down back down again through Hopkinton, or not Hopkinton, actually Henniker, I think it was.
Yeah,
and I guess what we found out after traveling all that is that the best view of leaves and foliage was right where we live. Not too far, within like a 15-20 mile radius of where we live is and had well, the best place
if you can catch it in peak is the Kankamangas Highway. That's the king of foliage in New Hampshire.
Really?
The Kank is like one awesome highway, and it's Josh, that's Joel, that's one of the most amazing motorcycle roads if you can catch it empty. But it's very, very twisty, very picturesque. It's a blast to run on.
Yeah, I've been on it, actually. It's very, very picturesque, and it's a heck of a nice road to be on, that's for sure.
Does that go up through the White Mountains?
Yep.
Okay. I think I know where it is. I think I've been on it. But
I've driven a tractor trailer up it. That's kind of hairy.
Oh, God. That has to be pain.
It definitely rates about a 5.6 on the pucker meter when you're coming down the other back side of it.
Is that during the winter or summer, or does it matter?
Realistically, you got to check for brake feed, because you're on the brakes a lot coming down the backside.
Wow.
Jeez. Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
That's incredible.
There's also there was another face on a mountainside up there, but you had to hike to it. You couldn't see it from the road like you could the old man, and it was a little bit less pronounced as the old man was. Mm-hmm. It was an Indian face that kind of looked out over a valley. And the old Indian legend was that an Indian warrior was away from home his tribe was battling another tribe. And while he was gone, his wife was taken away and murdered by another Indian tribe in this valley. And he hurried back. And, of course, he got revenge against who killed his wife. But he... went up into the mountainside and became part of the mountain to keep vigil over where she her final resting was. And it's a stone face that looks just like an Indian face out there.
Wow.
I don't even know if there's even trails out to it anymore, because it because it wasn't a white looking face. People just weren't that interested in it. You know, so but there used to be paths, the trails going out to it when I was in high school, because we went out there when I was in Boy Scouts. It was one of the places we went and camped, admired it, and all that kind of stuff. And it was really, really cool, you know. But I don't think in current times that there's a way to get to it unless you know someone that knows where it is. None of those trails were maintained.
Really? That's a shame.
Yeah, it wasn't part of the state park system. It was just local people that were maintaining it because they just kind of dug it. And, you know, as they passed away, no one took it up, and it just kind of disappeared from local lore. Yeah.
And speaking of state parks, they're the only parks that are open up here in New Hampshire. As you know, we've had a government shutdown that occurred this week. And I guess other than, the parks, I haven't really noticed anything different.
Yeah, did you see the headlines from Wisconsin?
No.
The governor there, who's highly controversial.
Mr. Walker?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the feds said shut down all the state parks that have got federal assistance. And Walker said, screw you. We're managing the parks.
Good for him.
Good.
We're paying for most of the maintenance of the parks. And he ripped down the barricades.
Good for him.
The feds put up the barricades and he ripped them down. So, yeah.
Good for him.
So, you know, from all over the country, there's these things called honor flights that are going on. And that's to get all the World War II vets that are still around down to Washington to see the World War II memorial that they put up a few years ago. And it's one of many open parks and open monuments that you can go to anytime you want, 24/7, 365 days a year, because it's open. And the administration decided, well, they wanted to show that, you know, not having having the government closed, they tried to barricade these open 24/7 monuments, and they put barricades up. And it was like, you know, you're spending more money putting the barricades up and putting park rangers there than you do than you normally spend when the government is open. And not only that, but you're sending away guys that are in their late 80s, 90s. This may be the only time and the last time they get to see this memorial, and you're saying no because, you know, you're trying to make a point. Really? You know?
Yeah, he's made a point. He's an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, if this doesn't prove it, if this doesn't prove that this guy is the biggest asshole we've ever had in the White House. And I really mean it. This really pisses me off, you know. It's one thing if you agree or disagree with what's going on in Congress and everything, but to be an asshole on purpose like this, you know.
That's okay. America will forget.
Yeah, America, I think, is already forgetting. Yeah, I saw on ABC News the other night, a congressman, a Republican congressman, went down to the World War II memorial and basically was asking the park ranger there why she's blocking these people, these veterans, away from seeing their monument. She goes, because I was told to, sir. And then ABC interviewed that senator and asked him why he was berating a park service, a park ranger who had nothing to do with it. That was the story. Not the story. Well, there wasn't
the thing
a story.
Is, though, he really shouldn't have been berating the park ranger. The park ranger has no control over the situation. Why go to the bottom person? Go to the top person who put that in place. Complain to him.
Well, I'm sure that happened too, and he wasn't really berating her. He was just trying to get them to open these.
Well, the video things that they showed on the news, he was bawling her out.
Yeah, I didn't see the video. I just read about it, and I saw the ABC
coverage. I saw it on NBC News, and he was pissed off, and he was like, you know, really saying, what are you doing? You know, I mean, he was obviously playing up a political camera moment. Mm. That was it. He was getting a little bit of camera time, and that's all he was doing. He didn't care about the park ranger. He didn't care about the veterans. He didn't care about anything except getting a photo op. That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
And it kind of pissed me off that he was taking advantage of this sad situation to just get a photo off for himself.
Well, that's...
Because the park ranger is powerless. You know, it's like hitting the lowest level peon.
Well, I like the original park rangers when the first day that they were there, the park ranger who was also a veteran, they put up the barricades, and then the vet said, we're coming through, and the guy let him come through. He says, who am I to stop these people from seeing their memorial? Yeah. I wonder if he's still got his job.
There was also a group from here in Syracuse that went down there on one of those flights. When they came back, they were asking them if they were blocked. And they says, and one guy says, yeah, we were blocked, but we pushed the barricades aside. We did the same thing in Normandy. We're not going to stop there. I thought that was pretty cool because this guy was like 90-something, you know, 92 years old. He's like, you know, they put up barriers in Normandy, and we didn't stop there. We weren't going to stop in Washington. Like, yeah, go for it, dude.
And then I was reading, this was a comment from one of the stories about the memorials, and somebody commented, and I thought this was good. He said, there are more guards at the open memorials than there were in Benghazi.
Yeah.
That's a sad statement, isn't it?
That's a very sad statement. And the fact that they're actually spending more money to block these things than they would when the government's open. You know,
I kind of like that a lot of elements in the press are not calling it a shutdown. They're calling it a slim down because the whole government really isn't shut down. There's like selective pieces to cause maximum pain for what is being shut down.
And then on the other hand, Congress, or the House was, this was a move, and we knew it probably wasn't going to work, but they said, oh, okay, well, they started sending approving little bills and sending them to get funding for these critical places. And of course, when it made it to the Senate said, no, it's all or nothing. But exactly. You were just complaining
let's go ahead and continue letting babies having food. Nah, we don't want to feed babies. Unless we can have everything, we don't want nothing.
Yeah, there's plenty of blame to go around everywhere on the political side. But I just think the way they're trying to, and they said, somebody, one of the park rangers said, we were told to make it be as intolerable as they can to the public.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the only way this is going to change is if the people that are electing these officials and reelecting them pull their heads out of their asses and decide, we're not doing the same old, same old. Vote all these people out. Fire Congress now. Yeah. Don't play favorites. Just kill everybody. Wipe them all out. Let's start clean. And after a couple of times of doing that, they'll start paying attention because they won't be in power anymore to just kind of take it for granted that they're going to be reelected, which is what they're doing now. They know they're going to be reelected, so they don't care what they do. They don't want to represent anybody. And it's that same way with both parties. They both suck.
Yeah.
And they both need to be put out of office, put out of power, and that will wake them up and make them pay attention.
I'm really beginning to strongly believe in term limits now, too, to keep these guys out. You know, put a maximum of like 6 years, and that's it.
You know? I agree. You know? I agree.
Because it's just
these people
just
stay in too long, get too powerful and too influential, and they get too tied into lobbyists, and nothing changes, nothing moves on. There's no reason for them to change the status quo because it's working damn well for them as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So unless something occurs to shake things up, why would they ever change anything? Why rock the boat when the boat is floating along nicely? You know?
Exactly.
So. Somebody needs to start poking some holes in the bottom of that boat.
Yep.
Well, they'll move quick.
The only people to do it is us. That's the only power we have at the voting booth.
Yeah.
So unless enough people wake up, it's going to continue like this. So what can you do? So Michael, tell us, I have to ask, and I put this on our private Google Plus thing, but you've got this Jeep that's got, if it doesn't, it's darn close to a 250,000 miles on it.
Oh, it passed.
Oh, it passed. Okay. Probably this week, right?
No, it remember when I posted it?
Oh, that's right,
community?
You did.
Yeah, took a picture of it.
Yes, so it's got over a quarter million miles on it now. You put between the last 2 weeks, you put over 2,000 miles on this Jeep.
2,800.
Okay, almost 3,000 miles, and of course, it's got bad bearings in the front before you even started on this trip. And you're running about 3 out of 6 cylinders in the engine because it needs some work. And you go on this trip. And the thing that got me as you were talking about it in your podcast that shall not be named, because we were having Jeep casts all the way down.
That's an awesome podcast.
And on the way up, you were saying, oh, and I'm going to stop and check out this trailer of a friend of mine's boat. And if I can get it all in good shape, I'm going to haul it home with the same Jeep.
Yep. Yep.
Those three cylinders are going to be working their asses off.
I got to get me a Jeep.
Yeah, well, the cylinders seem to clear out on the highway. Yeah. I'm up around 5 or 6 on the highway.
Okay.
Well, that makes all the difference.
Yeah, it's dropped from 24 miles a gallon to 19 to 18. Well, it was about 17 with the trailer on the back. And on some hills, I couldn't do much more than 50 miles an hour, full out.
Yeah.
It doesn't need engine work. It needs an engine. But it keeps running. I shouldn't have any doubt on this poor thing. It just, it's been my trusty companion for 13 years now, and it just keeps going. It's the 4-liter Jeep engine. The old AMC 232 is what it is. It's been updated.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's been updated a couple jillion times. Oh, it's a tried and true. It's got a very wide torque range on it. That thing's got almost full torque at idle. If you look at the torque curve on it.
Wow.
But there was definitely a chance it was just going to quit, and it's been. I'm using about a gallon of antifreeze every 1,000-1,500 miles, and it's it's chewing oil, but it's not. I mean, it's not like you can smell it or anything, but it's definitely got problems. The right front seal is gone. At times, it was foaming up and spitting 90-weight gear oil out the right axle, which would then fly right up on the muffler.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that.
And you know what that smells like. And, and there's oil coming out from under the engine, getting on the windshield. but, you know, I had to make this trip. It was mission critical for what I was doing, and I wasn't going to leave this for Chris to drive.
No.
Well. So, and there's a horrible vibration up front, too, at certain spots. But it has always gotten me where I needed it.
Is that why you towed the boat home? Because that kind of offset the vibration?
No, well, there's a couple reasons why I brought that. First of all, I had to get it out of my friend's garage. Hmm. It was not meant to be there that long, and he's got a lot going on there. He needed it clear.
Okay.
Second of all, the tires on that trailer belong to my boat trailer, and I needed to get my boat trailer back on the road so that I could get my boats out of the water. And I must say, that boat trailer, it's a 16-foot speedboat. I mean, it's longer than the Jeep. I did you see the picture of that, Barry? I think
I did see it.
Yeah, that was funny.
That's the best towing trailer I've ever hauled. It's incredible. You know, normally something, especially when it's bigger than the vehicle that you're towing it with, tends to wag, you know, the tail wags the dog.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was back there, other than the fact that I couldn't do over 50 uphill. But
that might have something to do with
I was
three
really
or four cylinders.
Yeah, well, as I said, going around town.
You've got to need all the cylinders to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not all there. They're not all present and accounted for, but they're doing their best. At least they're not backfiring. But, you know, that Wednesday night, I tried to get home that Wednesday night. I really, really tried. And, but I had a meeting, a mandatory meeting in Madison, which was a good haul. It's about 460 miles from Copper Harbor. So I did the 120 or whatever it is from Madison to where my friend's place was. And it was pretty late, and I thought, well, heck, you know, because I figured I was going to have these bearings pressed out because it's a 65 boat and trailer.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I had forgotten that I bought this thing from a mechanic. Yeah, the bearings had come apart. There were pieces of bearing in the grease. That's why I didn't try to take it any further than my friend's house. But, and this thing, it's packed with grease, but it's packed with grease and water. The seals are gone. And I'm getting in there with a punch, and all of a sudden I feel this opening. And I'm like, owner, 15 minutes, I had all four races out.
Really?
And, you know, and I was expecting a huge fight. But within 15 minutes, I had pounded the bearing seats out on both wheels. And then when I got all the grease cleared out, the guy had taken, and I know Joel really appreciate this because I thought, man, this was thinking. But being a machine shop, he took these hubs, took them to a CNC machine, and he milled a big divot on either side of where their bearings sit. So you've got a really nice wide spot for the punch to come down and hit the bearings. And it, you know, I was like, holy cow, this makes sense. You know, some axles have got, or some hubs have got a little notch where you can go in there with the punch. But this was like, he used like a quarter inch bit. Wow. And went all the way down the side. And it was just bang, bang, bang. They went out. And I went in there with some 300 grit wet sanding paper and cleaned out the hubs and the new seats went in. At half an hour, I had the old bearings out, the new seats in, the new bearings packed, and everything all ready to go the next morning.
Wow.
So jeez. I kind of took that as a sign. Maybe it's supposed to come home.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it wasn't the most smart thing to do. I should have waited till I had the truck, but I did have to. I did have to get it out of my friend's garage, and I really needed my tires. I didn't want to go out and buy another set of two wheels with tires on them for my trailer. It just seemed like it was worth the gamble.
Hmm. Wow. Well, you really sold me on Jeeps.
All hail the venerable Jeep.
It just keeps going. One of these days that engine's going to quit, and I will have no complaints. I mean, it's just, between, as I said, my mechanic said I'm like, 50,000 over the service life of the engine already.
Wow.
It's too bad our Congress wouldn't run like your Jeep.
Yeah, yeah. But they don't understand.
It just doesn't Jeep run. You know, it's like dead.
Well, yeah. It's.
All right, I'm gonna jump in on a story here, since we're talking about the trip, which there's lots of things here, but the start, actually the day before I left, and I think you guys know where this is going. That was the night that we canceled because you weren't feeling well. Mm-hmm. And was it?
Yeah, I think that was the night. Yes.
Yeah, it was. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go have dinner with my family before I head out of town. So we go to the Mariner, and we ordered a pizza, a large pizza. And just before the pizza arrives, my pager goes off. Okay, well, I'm there with the family, with the truck, and I'm about 3/8 of a mile, half mile from the fire hall. I throw the truck keys to my wife, and I figure, if I go out at a full sprint, I'm still going to beat my partner to the fire hall. So I jump up, I point to the Nexus 7 on the table to Mark and say, make sure you grab that on the way out. And I go flying out the door, and I'm running down the middle of the road towards the fire hall. And people are going, Mike, why are you running down the middle of the hole about the road? And that's about the time the second page came through. And the radio is still turned up, so it's echoing off the buildings as I'm running down the road. Like, oh, we know why you're running down the middle of the road. I still made it to the fire hall, got in there, got the ambulance started out, and closed the door before my partner showed up. Wow. It was a little out of breath. And we went on this run and took care of the situation, came back, and my wife and kids were nice enough to leave me two pieces of pizza.
Nice.
So I walked in the door. At that point, it was about 11 o'clock at night, and they were going to bed because the kids get up at 5 in the morning for the bus. Sorry if this is sounding like a shaggy dog story, but I just sit down on the couch. I start chewing on my piece of pizza and looking at email. And the pager goes off again. This time it's a local call. I still had to get back to the fire hall. But dispatch was, they were amused. We were en route at midnight, and we were on scene at midnight.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And we did have a little ways to travel, but the nature of the call was, we have a saying in EMS called Pooha. P-U-H-A, which means pick up and haul ass.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was one of those calls. And by the time, you guys got texts from me as I was doing this. By the time I got home from the hospital after taking care of that call, and of course, it's late at night now. We've used enough diesel. There's a protocol. Once you get under 7/8 of a tank, you have to fill it.
Okay.
It's Michigan State protocol. The problem is the only 24-hour gas station, much less the only 24-hour gas station that has diesel, is at the other end of the island. So I had to go all the way down to the university side of the island, which is 50 miles from here, fill the truck with diesel, and then drive back, which is kind of ironic because by the time you fill up at the end of the island and come back here, we're under 7/8 of a tank again. But the hell with that. So got back here. I got in the house about 3:15. I think I got to bed at 3:45. Got back up at 5 to get the kids on the bus, and then I had to drive down to Wisconsin. So that was the start of my road trip.
Oh, God. I'm surprised you stay awake when you're driving. That would kill me.
I went through a lot of coffee on that trip. A
lot of coffee, windows open, radio blaring.
I've got the podcast blaring away. I'm looking for interesting subjects.
Oh, man.
Discomfort and no agenda and, yeah, whatever.
Jeez. Man, what a busy couple of weeks. But then again, that's a normal week for you.
Yeah, I agreed with Joel on the sitting on a tropical island somewhere with an umbrella last week. Like, yeah, it sounds good.
Listen to the ocean. Laugh,
yeah, like,
at
where
shore.
Do I sign up for this stuff?
That's true. So
okay, so sorry.
You know what you need on some of your calls, Mike?
What?
You need to get a GoPro 3 camera.
Oh, segue.
Go ahead.
I picked up a GoPro Hero 3 black camera, and I tell you what, this little SOB is one really cool little device. It's a very, very tiny camera that comes in a watertight case, you know, and I guess you can go down to, I can't remember how many meters deep in the water. So, you know, but it's definitely weather protected, and there's a million different kinds of attachment and accessories you can buy. You can buy an attachment to stick it on your helmet, stick it on your forehead, stick it on your chest. You can put it on handlebars. You can put it on a windshield. On the inside of a windshield, there's a suction cup thing, and it works in a number of different ways to handle the slant of the windshield and things. And I tell you what, this thing is like really, really cool. It's what a lot of surfers use. They put it on the front edge of their surfboard, mm-hmm. and point up at them, you know, so you can see their faces as they go through waves and things like that. It's what you see a lot of skydivers using to get a lot of those fantastic imagery coming down. But you know what? It's even really, really cool just to watch your own commute by sticking it on a suction cup mount in your windshield. Because you can watch the contrast in the seasons that way, you know? And it's really kind of neat. This little camera, when you take it out of the case, it's a little tiny thing. It really is a really small thing, and it's all full, high definition. And you have a choice of what do they call it? The FPS, shots per second. Frames per second. Yeah. And, you know, but it's all in full 1080p HD. And I tell you what, the imagery that this thing can capture is just amazing. It's got a built-in wide angle. And
oh, nice.
So there's no focusing really involved. You just kind of like turn it on, point it, and just go. And it really is really kind of cool. For some of the things that you and your son do, like mountain biking and stuff like that, I would love to see you guys record some GoPro Hero 3 video on your bikes, because the jarring and all that kind of stuff would be really neat to watch.
Yeah, well, we're saving for it. It's not an inexpensive accessory, but they make good stuff.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, the biggest thing that bugs me is like a couple of weeks after I bought mine, they came out with a newer model that's even better. It's like, well, screw you, GoPro.
it always works that way.
It's not really the kind of camera for like an average photographer. I mean, you should really seek out a typical camera if all you want to do is like shoot scenics and things like that. But as far as like action photography where things are in motion, you know, stuff like that, it really is really, really a cool toy to play with. Can even buy like drones and helicopter type things to attach it to and fly it around and shoot video.
Does it have built-in storage?
One of the things
storage?
That I want to try to do with it, is it has a remote control that works up to 600 feet. Mm-hmm. I want to put it on a tripod out in the middle of the yard, you know, like 600 feet away from my window, and aim it at an area where deer tend to go to a lot, and just be able to, like, turn it on. And you can just, you don't have to just shoot video. You can shoot stills with it, and you can shoot, like, time-lapse photography with it. You can tell it to, like, take one picture every so many minutes and just let it go. Just forget it. And it'll just, like, do that until the battery dies or the card fills up.
Yeah, that's the question I have. Is it built-in memory? Does it take cards?
Yes. You have a little micro SD card that it takes.
Uh-huh.
And the one I've got is a 64 gig, but you have to get high-speed one because this is a rapid little sucker. A regular low-speed one will not work with this camera. So you have to get a high-speed one. And I would recommend if you buy one of these GoPro Heroes, that you, 3, that you get the Black Edition, because that's like, Hero 3 Plus Black Edition, I guess, is now the highest thing, because it's got better optics and better battery life. That's the one downside I've found with this, is the it eats batteries proficiently. I've got 2 batteries, and it's all I can do to keep using it, because it's always like I've got one battery dead, because it will suck it down.
So it's they're rechargeable.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. Well, I bought a separate recharger for it, because there's like a million accessories you can buy for this thing. Third party accessory market is just exploding with all kinds of things that you can buy. All kinds of rechargers, extra batteries, and all kinds of different kind of mounts and things. There's like a million ways you can mount this camera to almost anything imaginable and just film anything you want to film. And it does it all in total 1080p high definition. 24 frames per second is the standard speed. Uh-huh. But you can adjust to other speeds if you want.
Wow.
And it really is a pretty neat little tiny device. I can't believe they put so much video capability in such a little itty-bitty tiny box, because it really is pretty small. Yeah. I wish I could think of something that was about the same approximate size, but I guess if you took a pack of cigarettes and cut it into quarters, it's about the size of a quarter of a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah,
how small it is.
The cameras, I mean, when you think that what's the size of the camera inside an iPhone or even an Android phone? They're pretty small. But
those cameras can't do what the GoPro does.
Really?
It gets a really big wide angle HD view, and the pictures are just really great.
I think that has more to do with the lens they put on it. But now, if you took it and turned it around inside your car, would it give you a nice wide view of your car? Because I know people that video.
I've done that by mistake. I didn't think it was on, and I was messing with it, wondering, because it has a little blinking light to tell you that it's recording, and then the blinking light stopped, and I was like, what the hell? But when I looked back at the video, I could see myself looking at the camera, wondering, what the hell? I could see the roof of the Jeep and all this kind of stuff. It's like, oh, okay, it was recording, but why wasn't it blinking?
Okay, because
it does seem to have a sensitivity to heat, because I mount it in my windshield on warm, sunny days, and it does get extremely hot. Hopefully the new one that I don't have, maybe it deals better with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it keeps working, but it looks like it's not. But that happens very, very rarely. And like I said, I've only had it for a couple of weeks, and mostly what I've been doing is filming my commute, which luckily the view has been changing rather dramatically, because I had a detour for a while. And then when that stopped, the leaves started changing. So, I've got different colors and things like that. But I tell you, this is one really fun little toy. I think Joel would probably like to put it on the handlebars of his Harley. That would really be kind of cool for that. And of course, Michael, I think Mark and Michael will probably have a blast with something like this, because it really does record really well. The audio recording is a little remiss, because it's like put in a watertight case. It's totally weather sealed, so you can go out in a rainstorm with it, and go down in the water with it, and it's pretty well protected. I've banged it around a bit, and it doesn't really seem to care because it's in that protective case.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow, that's so neat.
It really is a pretty cool toy.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool if you do the vlogging stuff. I know people that vlog from inside their car, they always have to use a wide-angle lens so that because you can't just use a normal lens. So I'm wondering whether a GoPro would be good for not only action outdoor shots, but if you just turned it around and, you know, put it up on the dashboard, that you could use that for vlogging too.
Yeah.
Wide enough.
Well, it's kind of hard to mount it on a dashboard. If you've got a really smooth one, they do have a number of mounts come with it. One of them, you could peel the plastic sticker off and just kind of like stick a mount on your dashboard. But if you've got one of those pebbly type dashboards, it might not stick there very well. Yeah. That's why I started sticking mine. I got a suction cup mount, and I stick it to my windshield. The way the angle of the Jeep, it's okay. I can stick it there and just kind of aim it frontwards, because it's very, very flexible. But on the truck, the angle of the windshield is very, very more sloped. Uh-huh. So I have to turn it upside down and slope it around. But there's a free app that comes with it. I mean, not comes with it, but you can download that will allow you to flip the image over. Uh-huh. So putting the camera upside down is actually not a problem whatsoever.
Wow. Sounds neat.
Yeah. It really is kind of a really cool thing. So, you know, if you're looking for a great way to record motion and sports activities and things like that, and you want a wide-angle view, and you want a camera that's really inconspicuous, this is the way to go, especially if you're going to be in the rain or in the mud or anything like that, you know, like Jeep tend to be. It's awesome.
You know what I bet Michael could use it for? Another thing he could use it for? When he's out and about playing Ingress.
Nah.
And you know what? I need some advice with Ingress. How the hell do you get to some of those places?
That depends on where you live. But
there ain't nothing near me, trust me.
Well, when we last left the story, Michael had been banished from the Ingress community. And,
yes, I had been.
And he had to plead with them to let him back. And the result was, Michael?
Well, I had to agree to the terms of service that nowhere in that terms of service that I printed out do I see anything that says anything about not playing it on iOS. But I think your theory, there is an issue in the terms of service that says not having multiple logons at the same time with the same ID. So, but I never had both my iPhone and my Nexus 7 on at the same time, but I think what triggered it actually was that I played it on both of them. Because the game experience is far better on a true Android device. But since my Nexus 7 doesn't have a cellular activation and I don't have a MiFi or anything like that, I'm limited now to where I can get a Wi-Fi signal.
Right.
Which is definitely cutting down my repertoire of places that of portals that I can attack. But I'm coming back. I'm back on there. But it took 7 days of negotiating back and forth with Niantic?
Niantic, yes.
Yes. And it's like, okay, now play nice. It's like, I never didn't. You know, it's like, I'm the only one up here. How can I not play nice?
Yeah. I keep getting emails from them telling me to get active. Because, you know, I started it on iOS when I got some word from you and Barry about what you guys were doing. And so I downloaded it and recompiled it in Xcode and shoved it to one of my devices. And I was playing with it for a while, and it was working okay. I wasn't having any trouble. But when I got my Google Nexus 7, it wouldn't let me use the same account. You know, it said that account is tied to another device. And I was like, well, really? So what? Let me use it on this device.
New.
It wouldn't let
that's
me.
New. Huh. That's a new developer.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? It's, I created a new account, and I'm playing it on my Nexus 7, and now my iOS account won't work. it won't let me log in. It says it's an invalid login, invalid account. You know, and I was like, well, okay, fine. I didn't push it because I didn't care because I had it on the Nexus 7. But the thing is on the Nexus 7, every place I go, it's like there's things that are like far away from me, and I'm like at work, and it's like, well, you know, I really can't go there right now, you know. Yeah. And I come home, and there's nothing here. Trust me. So it's like, well, okay, what do I do? So it's really kind of a non-starter as far as I'm concerned for me.
Well, I haven't played in quite a while because when they did the last update. Of course, the iOS clone has to catch up, and apparently the way he was doing the OTA downloads for the iOS 7 version of the game, or 6, and now 7, I guess, well, somehow I think that got disabled, how they could spread that. That's at least that's what I read, the way he was doing it, the approach he was doing to allow it to be downloaded.
I was surprised he was getting away with it at all. I know what he was doing. It was like, how did he get that to work with Apple?
So, I don't know. Well, that got disabled.
Well, I don't think he did because he kind of went around them.
Yeah.
No, he can't. He was basically doing an enterprise load.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how they were doing the OTA. And I'm just like, how did he manage to get that done?
Barry sent me a link where I could download it without having to go through the App Store.
Right, that's because you were doing an enterprise.
So the problem is now, since his GitHub went down, you can't get access to the source code to compile it yourself, and the OTA has been squashed by Apple pretty much. I have no way to update, and I can't play with the current version that I have on my phone because
bastards.
Yes, they've upgraded the game, so I got to either wait for them to come out with an iOS version of the game or get myself an Android device of some sort. But
Well, my Nexus 7 cost me less than $100, so I really can't complain. It was like, you know, it was so cheap that it was kind of like, well, why not?
I'm thinking about getting a Nexus 7 just to play around with something.
It really is a nice device.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I can replace my iPad with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, because mine is, you know, smaller than the iPad, and I like the screen size of the iPad. But all the apps that I have on the iPad, I can't get on the Nexus 7. Because I do use some Apple apps that I can't emulate on the Nexus 7. And, you know, like I said, the screen size is a big delimiter. But it's really kind of funny because some of the things on the Nexus 7 that you would think would be easier tend to be harder. You have to go around the long way for some things. You know, like, well, like with the iPad, you can just do a swipe and you're in. You know, but the Nexus 7, you have to do a swipe and you're on a startup page. And you have to hit a button to get to the apps page, unless you want to take and pile up a bunch of apps on your startup page, which I guess is the way the iPad is. You know, you have a bunch of apps on all your pages. But, you know, I kind of like the nice clean. Well, I guess what it comes down to is with the Nexus 7, I've got a background that has like a little brook that's flowing by and fall leaves are falling on it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to clutter it up with a bunch of stinking icons, because sometimes I just call it up just to watch the colored leaves flow by.
Okay, so we got to come up with an iOS app that you can pop up and just covers your icons so that you could watch that and then, you know, just tap it to get to your icons.
I got the Nexus 7 for that. It's just there are sometimes that I just simply want a plain screen to look at, and this Nexus 7 is nice for that. I just wish it was a little bit bigger. I should have got the Nexus 10, but, you know, the Nexus, the 7, that when I bought it, it was marked down, and I had points available to lower the price, so I got it for less than 100, and it was like, well, shoot, why not? It was one of those kind of things. What am I going to use these stinking points on? So, you know, I got that. But I tell you, I like this device. I really enjoy playing with it, and a lot of the apps are very similar to the iPad apps, but I think the one big thing is that I can't put my music to it easy.
Yeah,
I've got a small percentage of my music library uploaded to Google, and that's all I can download.
Yep.
The only way I can get around this would be if I was going to go out of town for a week to set my Mac Pro to just simply do nothing but upload songs to Google. But what happens is there's nobody using my hard drives, so the Mac Pro decides, okay, I'm going to power these drives down. I'm going to save power. Mm-hmm. And I've turned that off in the system preferences, and it still insists upon going down to like zero power mode. If there's no user involvement, no matter what your system preferences are, the Mac Pro, and this is a 2010 Mac Pro with dual Xeon quad-core processors, it will shut down everything to a very, very minimal level, waiting for a network wake-up or a keyboard wake-up.
Huh.
It will shut down to the minimalist power usage, which doesn't do me any good when I want to upload things to Google, because there's no user involvement with that. And I'm like, come on, Apple, how can I turn this off? I turned it off in preferences, but it still shuts down the drives if there's no user involvement.
Huh. And even though it has a network, it can wake up by the network, it doesn't?
Yes, I have network wake up enabled, and I have shut down the drives disabled, and it still shuts down the drives.
That's weird.
Because I know this because when I'm away from my machine, when I'm working around the house doing things for like 3 or 4 hours, and I come back and I tap the keyboard, I can hear my hard drives spinning back up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh God, nothing's been uploaded to Google. And I look at the numbers and I realize, I did it for about 30 minutes after I last touched it, and that was it. So it will take me forever to get.
Can't you turn it off for a little bit?
iTunes library up to Google.
Can't you turn it off for a while?
I'm like, geez. Say what?
Can't you turn it off for a while?
Turn what off?
Change your energy saving feature.
I have turned it off.
Because on my Mac Mini, it stays on all the time.
I turned all the energy savings to be the most detrimental to the environment possible. And it just ignores it.
Really? There's something wrong with it.
It's so freaking mean that they just don't pay attention to your preferences.
Yeah, my Mac Mini stays buzzing all the time. I have it because I don't have it set to power down anything. And
well, my iMac will pay attention, but it only has, you know, just the one hard drive, you know. But the Mac Pro, I cannot get it to keep the drive spinning.
Yeah, that's weird.
Because I've got my iTunes library on a separate drive.
Yeah.
There's the boot drive, there's a media drive that has iTunes, and there's a photography drive that has all my pictures and movies and things. And then I have what I call a swap drive that has like pretty much like a miscellaneous collection of crap.
Yeah.
You know, every program that wants scrap space, I put it on that drive. And I had to increase that recently, but anyway, that's another story. But as far as trying to upload things to Google to make it available for the Nexus 7, Apple won't do that. It doesn't care that what I'm keeping the drive spinning for. It just won't keep the drive spinning. If there's not an active user involvement, so I'm thinking about writing a script that goes and checks the directory, you know, once every, once an hour.
Yeah.
You know, just to make the drive stay active.
That would work. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, this is crazy. Yeah. Why do I got to do this? You know, I turned all your greenness off. Why do you ignore my preferences?
Because you're trying to upload something to Google. You think it doesn't know that. You're wrong.
Anywhere else, you could probably do it.
It'll work, right?
Yeah. Anywhere else, you could. Not Google.
That's about the only thing I have running. I turn everything else off, email, Safari, everything. There's nothing running but the upload to Google because I don't want nothing cutting down the bandwidth. And it just runs for a while. If there's no user activity in the drive, it shuts it down.
Huh. Wow.
So that's about the biggest thing I have. Why I won't use my Nexus 7 more is because I can't get, can't get to my media. Because it's all Apple related. I can pull it all up on my iPad.
Yep. Carry your iPad too.
Well, pretty much what I've always done. Yeah. You know, my iPad is pretty much attached to my hip at this point.
Yeah. So, Michael, what's the smackdown about? Do you remember?
In a few weeks.
Yeah, I think that was put in a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. I didn't talk about that.
I don't know.
Well, I got asked a couple of weeks, actually, not a couple of weeks ago, because that happened a couple of weeks ago. I got asked probably 4 to 6 weeks ago if I'd be willing to be the ringside medic on a Ultimate Cage Fight again.
No, you haven't told this story.
You talked about that on one of the podcasts that shall not be named, I think.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it briefly on that. Mm. And I did it once a year ago when no doctors were available. Mm. And with the rules basically say that you need certain qualifications, but they actually, the fight organization, the medic, ringside medic is actually the fighter advocate. And they prefer to have experienced medics with street experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I fit apparently the category. And the first time they asked me, I thought about it for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through the physicals on everybody before the fight and monitored the fight. And that night, I actually disqualified one of the headliners in the final fight.
Really?
It's like he was not fit for the fight. And I figured, well,
good for you.
I did my job. I'll never be asked back again. Well, guess what?
They asked you back?
They asked me back.
Wow.
Again, it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. It was the Saturday before the night of EMS calls. And they had asked me, like, back in August if I would do this. And they're like, where are all the doctors that normally do this? And I said, well, the Nationals are in the East Coast that weekend, and there weren't any doctors available. And they didn't want to just have any little paramedic do this that didn't know how things worked. And I thought hard about it for a couple of weeks. I really, you know, it's against everything I get my paramedic license for in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to do it anyhow, and they need somebody who it can, you know,
can
make
help somebody if something goes bad.
Well, it two walk in, one walks out. It's one of those deals.
Wow.
And this time, the last time there weren't any ALS medical units available for standby, because I was like, well, can't you just hire us for, you know, for backup? And you're like, there wasn't anybody last year. They were right. This year they said, well, we've already hired, you know, the company you work for to be standby, but they won't do ringside. And you're like, yeah, I know they won't do ringside. So at least my partners were outside at, you know, well, they were standing at the edge of the arena where the audience is. Mm-hmm. Watching. And they had been told, hey, would you like to take a standby for a wrestling expedition? They're like, yeah, wrestling, that sounds cool. They had no idea what they were signing up for. otherwise, they wouldn't have done it. And I'm not the one that asked them, because I looked in the calendar and I said, wrestling expedition? That's not a wrestling expedition. The medics look up, what is it? I said, it's an Ultimate SmackDown cage fight. And they're like, no. But it was really well done, organized. This time they broke up my duties over two nights. I had a full evening to go through everybody, do physicals, review their history, check to make sure they didn't have any life-threatening issues or broken bones or things they were trying to hide going into the fights, which these people had been known to do.
Mm-hmm.
The night of the fight, everything was done well. And one of the guys from the organization just basically came up and introduced himself and said that they liked how I handled the last fight and that I am the fighter advocate and what I say goes no matter what the promoter, you know, thanks, and that's why I'm there. But it's brutal. I mean, five of the fights were decided by people being choked to the point where they passed out, and it's legal in the game.
Wow.
One guy was knocked unconscious on his feet. He was standing unconscious. Actually, there were two of those.
Wow.
And one girl was stopped by the referee because she was just pounding. It was equal number of girls and guys fighting that night. Every other match was either a girl or a guy fight. And one was just such a massacre that the referee stopped it.
Wow.
So it gets worse as the night goes on. You know, the skill levels and the weight levels go up. So it was a long night, and I'm sorry, this is probably getting long-winded, but it was the only thing I could say about it is really, really, really good pay. But still, you know, someone had to be there. I'd rather a doctor be there. But, you know, short of no one else being there, I guess I would consider doing it again. But no, I'm not in any hurry.
Yeah. I just can't believe they have SmackDowns in Copper Harbor.
No, it wasn't Copper Harbor.
I know.
No, it was down at the university.
Yeah, the university, really?
At the arena down there. Well, not on the university.
How many doctors are available in the area?
Well, actually, the guy in charge of the national standards for this type of fighting is out of Marquette. So he's about a three-hour drive from here. But, again, he was at the national finals, wherever that is. I don't exactly follow the sport. I don't plan on starting to follow the sport. But they did take good care of me. They paid me well. They offered to actually put me up in a hotel room overnight since I was going to be down there 2 days, but I'd rather be home.
Hmm. Wow. Hey, that's, well,
it's different.
The hell of a gig,
it was
Michael.
On standby, just standing there with their jaws down, and they're like, oh my God. It's like, you guys got nothing to do until I wave you in.
Wow.
And I was actually able to handle everything. But yeah, they get choked until they lose consciousness from lack of oxygen. I consider that pretty happens. Serious. Yeah. So do I.
On that note, I got to be heading out of here. I'm not really out of oxygen, but I got to get some pills in me.
It's time to do drugs.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right.
It's been great talking to you guys. It's been a while since I met with you all.
Been a couple of weeks, but you're back. So good to have you.
Yeah, it's great talking to you all. Joel, have a good time. Michael, take it easy. Rest for a little bit, will you?
Well,
and Barry,
I'm on the road again tomorrow morning.
The same guy, so we know what our weeks are about.
Yeah.
Good talking to you again, Barry.
Take it easy
out there in the Monadnock, beautiful part of New Hampshire.
You take it easy up in the Tug Hill Plateau there.
Take care, Barney.
I'd rather be in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Talk to you guys all later.
All right.
I'll see you. Bye-bye.
And, okay. Everybody that's left who got a new iPhone this week, raise their hand. I see one. I see one.
Yes, new to me. New to me, iPhone. iPhone 4.
Cool.
And, gentlemen, I have to say, without a shadow of a doubt or hesitation, truly one of the best handheld electronic devices I've ever had the pleasure to use.
Hmm.
I every day I discover something new that this phone can do. And I mean, and again, I'm using an iPhone 4S, so we're not talking the latest and greatest, but pretty is not a descriptive enough word. I'm real darn impressed. Few things on it that I'm trying to get used to.
Okay.
For instance, if you were to select a photo on an Android device, and of course there's no, here you have just that home key at the bottom, where on an Android you'd have the menu key.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, hit the menu key and say, yes, I want to send it. It does the same things. It's just trying to figure out the way it wants to do it, the way it's programmed to do it.
Okay.
And that's just that learning curve.
Okay.
If I finally, what I personally find to be one of the most important things of any handheld telephone / smart device for me, I figured out how to do today by downloading an app, which was customizable ringtones.
Mm.
Yes, I'm still stuck in 1996. I like customizable ringtones. I like each of my friends to have their own ringtone. That way, when I hear it ring, I know whether or not to ignore it.
Without every time work calls, you hear dum da dum dum.
Yep, I'm not answering that one.
I used to have tubular bells for my wife's ringtone.
Yeah, so did I.
Until she heard it. I got that idea from you, Joel.
Yeah, it's just I used to have it assigned for my beautiful bride, and people say, "What is that?" I said, "It's the song, the theme song from The Exorcist." And they went, "That's your wife's ringtone?" I'm like, "Yes." Yeah, that was on my old flip phone. Man, that goes back a ways. But, So I, having done that today, and it was important that I get that done, because I made up a bunch of ringtones and had them assigned to people, so I'm used to listening for it, mm-hmm. you know, a certain song, of which I'm still trying to find yours, Barry, because it's got to be something big band with lots of horns. That's all I know.
Let's just take a part of our opening and...
I hadn't even thought of that. Thank you.
Yeah. I can get you a copy of the entire song on a bridge.
Excellent, excellent. So, and I absolutely love it. And since then, you guys will be proud to know that I've finally started having, you know, and I had needed to have a reason to use iTunes heavily. And mm-hmm. I use iTunes a lot now, trying to transfer my music over. Mm-hmm. Yes, Barry, all the coaching on iTunes Match has now come into play. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for the tutelage. And now I finally got my photos on there. I don't have a lot. It's like 798 photos on it.
That's nothing.
Exactly. You know, and I have yet to discover, strike that, to learn the, you know, making folders and then categorizing said folder for instance, perfect example, photographs. If you have this Christmas 1999 photos, to create a folder and put them all in there.
Mm. I have an album, I think they call them.
Album, thank
yes.
you. Yeah, I'm thinking Windows, so I'm thinking yeah. folder, but an album. Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
You know what's nice about it, though? When you start taking pictures from now on, it'll automatically put them in events based on the date. So,
oh.
Yeah. So, and then all you can have to do is go in and rename them.
That's cool. Yeah. At least that way you know where to look for it. It just doesn't randomly dump it in a general bucket.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's where I love the thing. The call quality by far is the best I've had of any handheld device.
Yeah.
I did run in, believe it or not, to one issue, okay. which was when I first got it. It's brand new out of the box, never been used. It had iOS 6 .whatever, and then when I went to call my beautiful bride to say, hey, guess what I got in my hand and I'm calling you on. But that didn't come out right. Guess what I got in my hand? Guess what I'm calling you on? And I really was having a tough time trying to hear her in the earpiece. And I mean, I was turning it up and turning it up and turning up the volume as loud as I could get it. And it was incredibly faint. And but I completed the call and then immediately jumped onto the Book of Knowledge, only to discover that was a common problem with the iPhone 4S.
Hmm. Really?
Yes, that the earpiece volume, there was a little procedure, if you will, to actually get it to elevate to reasonable volume levels that you could hear. And so I began the process of following this procedure. And like everything else, I got busy with work as I was sitting at my desk, mm-hmm. came back, and whilst I was out working, one of my colleagues had said, hey, you know, there's an update for iOS 7, and which caused me to remember what you guys had said. So I thought, oh, I'll plug into iTunes. Mm-hmm. Hey, there's an update for the OS. Boom, I put in iOS 7, and that instantly fixed the volume problem in the earpiece.
Cool.
However, I hated the friggin' crayon color friggin' icons.
That's because you didn't download any apps yet.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I have now. I've got 17 apps on it now.
Right.
But
and those colors disappear amongst all the other things.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to go so far as to say they disappear. One, you become acclimated to them. And two, mm-hmm. they you do lose them amongst the other icons a bit more. However, it for a day and a half, 2 days, it really bummed me the heck out because it didn't feel Apple-esque. When I had that first iOS 6 .whatever it was, mm-hmm. you know, it really moved and performed and functioned in the menus, and the way you sweep screens was very Apple-esque. And then I downloaded iOS 7, and I went, who the hell had an 8-year-old draw icons on the screen for? And obviously, they had all the bright colors from the crayon box. And I thought, oh, man, this looks an awful lot like Android. Mm. And not, just the oversimplicity of the icons, and I was pretty damn bummed about that. I mean, I'm still not overly enthralled with it. However, that's the only negative I found thus far about iOS 7.
You know, the only one that bothers me the most is the what they did to the gears and the settings.
Oh, well,
I like the old gears better than this.
I'll be honest with you. I only had them for a couple of hours, so I do not and have never had time to burn them in the long-term memory. I don't remember what they look like.
If you go on, if you look at your Mac Mini in front of you, and you look
Yes. Now I see it.
They're the same. And this thing reminds me of a front bike sprocket.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, the big for the pedals.
Yeah.
On a 10-speed.
Yeah. That's that's the only one that really bothered me. The other ones kind of dumbed down. I don't care for their bright green. That's for sure.
Pretty heinous. It is quite heinous.
But and the Safari one used to look nicer, but these are easier. I like the photo ones better than the old photo one. Even though I look at that and say, "What the hell's that?" It doesn't remind me of photos, but. Right. I like that better. The camera one's better. It's simple.
Yeah, to me, and I think you just nailed it in that last sentence, which was, to me, it's like they've dumbed down the look of the icons, and that leads me to say because they're attempting to either do one of two things, attract a younger user or maintain that user database, that user base that they have, you know. We're talking 12-year-old kids and 8-year-old kids and what have you. Or Apple, in their wisdom, realized that the vast majority of people using these things, they're lucky if their IQ breaks into the double digits. So make the pictures look simple.
Yeah.
I haven't figured out which of the two it is. I'm going to go with the first one, which is a younger user that's more, you know, looks a little bit more like an Android, I suppose. But
there's one other. Or they fired all their graphic artists.
Well, that's a good third possibility. I mean, they were going to have to change something sooner or later. Much like you guys had said in previous podcasts, things start to get a little bit long in the tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to have people not turn around and complain about, well, it's the same old all over again, is to make a radical change.
Right.
And in the infinite scheme of things, if making the pictures a bit more simple and a bit more, let's call it colorful, is radical as it's going to get, well, okay, fine then, you know, really.
Because once you get used to using it, it is better. I mean, there's little subtle things that just make it a little bit better than the 6-point whatever it was the last version.
I was tickled whenever it fixed that earpiece issue. I downloaded it and I went boom, wow. I turned this volume up and now it screams in my ear if I want it to, and that's great because I'm surrounded by a lot of machinery.
Yeah,
that's putting out some pretty good decibels, especially while at work. And quite honestly, you usually have that turned all the way up so you can hear hear whoever's talking to you on the other end of the phone.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. So you're you know, it was funny because the first time you text me, it came across well. Yours comes across gray, which that's another thing. I don't. Maybe the old one did this too. I'm not sure. But when I text you back, mine showed up as blue, and I said, "Oh, this is going out in iMessage."
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. And I noticed that this morning.
And I thought, and I remember indefinitely with Barry. I'm like, "What's this blue box, gray box thing going on?" I see, and he said, "It's because it's using iMessage, you idiot." I'm like, "Oh, thanks. I've never used it before. I don't know."
I don't think I called you an idiot.
Well, you were thinking that. I asked a lot of dumb questions about it. At one point, I literally found myself saying, "Damn it, I wish I knew how to do what I want to do on this, but the menus are laid out so very much so differently than what I was acclimated to."
Hmm.
And it was a little frustrating just for a moment. It was, okay, how the hell do I include a picture and send an MMS? Rather, whereas before it was, I have done it for so long with either an Android or, God help me, a BlackBerry, that, you know, well, actually the BlackBerry, I would pretty much have to do it was a charcoal pencil drawing. It wouldn't do color. But nevertheless, I knew how to include it in the text.
Now, my first clue this morning, Joel, was that I got a message from you because I'm 20 miles from the nearest point where you can get SMS. Mm-hmm. So you can actually reach me in the harbor now.
Right. You know, I had thought about that. I thought, wait a minute, he's on Wi-Fi. iMessage works on Wi-Fi. Let's see how fast it works.
Yep.
Whammo. And you're like, boop, here you go. I'm like, holy crap, that was quick.
And I wasn't home. I was getting coffee. I was at our local coffee house when that happened.
That was very, very cool. I thought, oh, man, I can actually reach these guys now.
And the other thing that I had to get used to, the phone rang, and I saw your picture on it for a brief minute, but as I was raising the phone up to my head, all of a sudden my camera went on, and I'm looking at myself. I said, why the hell is my camera on? And then I said, he's using FaceTime.
Which is, I'll tell you what, I'll never make a regular phone call again. Honestly, happy nerddom. I want to pick up all the little accessories, the holder that I can place the iPhone on the dashboard of the car.
Hmm.
And I already have a tether, so it pumps through the stereo system of the car. I have an input. So, now I can make basically a FaceTime call while I'm driving. Well, no, I don't know what the hell good that would do because you're supposed to be looking at the road. But we all get the gist. It's so cool.
The only thing I'm going to have to do is when you call me in FaceTime, I'm going to have to figure out how to turn the camera off instead of automatically having it come on, because I really, let's face it, I talk to you a lot in the bathroom.
I figured.
I don't think you want to see that.
Hey, man, just calling to find out how you're doing. Oh, well, Charmin.
Why is your face all red?
Should be followed by, you're not supposed to push, right? It's not good for you.
Only if you're using the eye crap.
Yeah. Exactly.
I couldn't believe I saw that. They had that on GizWiz last week, and so I followed the webpage, and I posted it on our little private Google Plus area there, but it was a thing that you platform basically when you're sitting on the toilet that you put your feet on top of, and it puts you. Well, we had that discussion. I forget what show it was now, but Michael told us all about the about how humans are supposed to actually were made to squat and go, and with tall toilets, you were no longer squatting and going. So this helps you get into a squat position.
The correct position.
So I just, I immediately thought of Michael when.
Oh, thanks.
You bring out the best.
So, and the other thing, Joel, you've opted to go with the podcast app.
Yes, I have. And I'll be honest with you, it works flawlessly.
Okay.
And I don't have to plug it in to get my podcasts. As a matter of fact, opening it up right now to the settings. I don't have a bunch of podcasts like you guys. I mean, I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, Virtual Upercast. So I've got,
you're going to get, once every 2 years, you'll get something on those.
But back to where I was going with this one, which was simply, I remember you saying, oh, yeah, it's a big pain in the butt because you got to plug it in so you can get iTunes to download. And I looked in the settings and it said, how would you like to receive, when do you want it to check for new podcasts? And I went, wait a minute. Well, every time I plug in, unless it'll do it over the Wi-Fi. Well, not only will it do it over Wi-Fi, it'll do it over the network data.
Mm-hmm.
And I can have it check when I have it check once a day.
Hmm.
For all my podcasts and automatically download them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doing a very similar feature that you guys are using with Downcaster.
Yeah, Downcast.
Downcast. It's doing exactly that, but it didn't cost me a cent.
And when you said that, I said, and I know they had updated since the last time I played with it. Well, first of all, they got rid of that stupid. They used to have a reel-to-reel thing going on it, and it was so dumb. I mean,
yeah.
And so I downloaded it again, re-downloaded it, and I checked it out, and it's getting very close to downcast now. There are a couple subtleties with it that, well, I'm still using downcast, let's put it that way. But I tried it out. There were two things. One thing, in downcast, you can specify the order of which your podcasts are put into and when you want them deleted. And I always say, well, after I listen to them, go ahead and delete them.
Right, right.
Okay. And in downcast, you can set that as like a global define. Mm-hmm. And so every podcast you join or you add, it automatically gets those global defines. However, if you want it to be different, you can go in and make it unique for each podcast. The thing I found, and this is only, you're starting out, so it doesn't bother you that much. But mm-hmm. for me, if I wanted to transfer all my podcasts over to this podcast app, mm-hmm. I would have to go in for each podcast and make those settings, set those settings for every podcast that mm-hmm. I put in there. And I have 53 podcasts, I think, in my list.
Oh, okay.
So that can be a bit annoying. although, give Apple another revision or two, and they'll probably be just like it. And the only other thing that I noticed when reviewing it is in Downcast, you have the ability of, if something's downloading, you can go ahead and stream it while it's downloading, right. So you can get a head start. And the same thing is available on podcast app. Mm-hmm. But what I noticed was, as I was downloading one and I tried to stream it, it was very, well, let's put it this way. Downcast does a better job at streaming than this app does. It was like, it was playing for like, it would play for 10 seconds and then stop for a while.
Oh, buffer out
and
on
buffer,
you?
Buffer out, yeah. And then it would play for a little bit and buffer out. Play for a little and buffer out. Whereas Downcast, I never see it buffer out.
Interesting.
So that's the only two things that I've noticed so far between the two. I think Apple's done an excellent job with their freebie of getting very close to what Downcast offers you
mm-hmm.
now. Including,
I love it.
Including the double time. What I noticed, too, yep. Now this is in the opposite direction. I set the speed I listen to them, I like to speed them up, and I set them to double time in podcast app, and it was faster than the double time in Downcast. Yes. And I said, whoa, that's too fast. And then so what I found is when I put it at a 1.5 times
yep.
in a podcast app, that's equivalent to what they call 2 times mm-hmm. in Downcast. So somebody's wrong there. I don't know who is, but that was the only other difference that I noticed.
Right. It's pretty doggone. And it took me a while to find the, the slider bar. In other words, if you want to slide further ahead into the podcast, mm-hmm. like skip over or whatever. Once I found that, how to get that menu to pop up, I couldn't be happier with it.
Mm. That's another thing. Well, I didn't find that, but do they have, on Downcast, they have options going either way. You can skip like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds. You can either use the slider bar or you can just hit these buttons above.
Yep.
That have 5, 10, 20, and 30, I think, and then they go the opposite way to reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Also, so
yep.
Okay, that's cool. I didn't look at that for podcast. The podcast app. So that's neat. Yeah, they're very close, and I gotta say I like the look of it a lot better, and it's easier to read. It's just like Downcast as far as that's concerned. And and probably a plus, man, I might be able to turn this off on Downcast because I don't know whether, sometimes it's annoying, sometimes I like it, but when you're downloading stuff, it makes little noises, like when one finishes it goes bleep beep.
Yeah.
And then when it's done doing all of them, there's another noise and it lets you know, okay, all the podcasts are downloaded. Now the other thing, I didn't check this out. Does it continue? This would be a good thing for you to check out, Joel, sometime. If you have a bunch of stuff that's been downloading at the same time,
mm-hmm.
right? And you've got a list of them, and then you move off of that app, and go to another app,
mm-hmm.
does it continue to download them in the background, or does yep. it eventually time out?
Nope. Continues to download till it's done.
Really? Okay. Yep. So to me, that would be a plus, because one thing I don't like about Downcast is, and I tell it, please download these in the background, but it still will time out after a time and mm-hmm. stop downloading them when I'm on another app. And then I have to, go bring Downcast back up and right. then it starts downloading them again. And it tells you that it's doing it. A little notification pops up and says, we've stopped the downloading, background downloading. At this time, and I don't know why it times out. I wish that was settable, because Downcast, I don't care. Just keep downloading.
Right. I've only had an issue with that once I went to iOS 7, so I'm wondering if there's a setting I haven't found there.
At
iOS 6, I never had the timeout issue.
Oh, I had it in 6, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now, granted, I may be downloading a lot more than you guys are, because I also download a lot of videos. I do a lot of video... video casts, mm-hmm. and they sometimes tend to be like in the 300 to 500, sometimes a gig download.
Oh yeah, okay.
So they'll be downloading for quite a long time period, and they'll just time out after a period of time. And that's the only thing that annoys me with Downcast. It's like, I told you, keep it going, keep All it right. going.
I'll be honest with you, mine was downloading it actually, as a matter of fact, just so I have my facts. Correct. Mm-hmm. Let me go back a page, hit that arrow there, and I actually went ahead and bought a protective cover and waiting for it to show up off of Amazon. But I downloaded 7 podcasts mm-hmm. simultaneously while playing with other apps on it
mm-hmm.
today.
Okay. Now, it only does 3 at a time.
Well,
I noticed that on both of them. Both of them only do. I think that must be. Michael might be able to say that. There must be a limit of how many streams you can download.
Must be, yeah. But it downloaded them all while I was actually playing Angry Birds.
Okay.
Updating my contacts and making a phone call.
Cool. Okay. So
I was pretty doggone impressed. I'm very impressed with it.
Yeah.
And it didn't cost me a cent.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, the only other thing, and this is just getting used to it, but I am so used to Downcast now. I mean, I can run the thing without even looking at the phone.
Mm-hmm.
That it's when I went to podcast, it was like I was hesitating and just slightly in different places. You know? And so
again, we're back to that learning curve.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You're getting exactly. ready to say something, Michael.
Yeah, no, I was just going to jump in, and both my sons also use Downcast,
mm-hmm.
but my youngest son actually likes. I mean, he's not going to stop using Downcast, but he likes the revised podcast app. He said he actually was mentioning that yesterday.
It's very close.
Yesterday, he said, for some things, I actually like the new podcast app that Apple's redone. He said I hated the old one.
Right.
He said, but the new one is actually doing what I wanted to do.
Yes.
It's I having not had any exposure to any other Apple, podcast player or downloader,
mm-hmm.
I'm really happy because here again, too, all of my knowledge is based off of what I had to deal with from a BlackBerry. Now this one doesn't require a crank handle, which I think is a major plus. It also doesn't require an extension cord, which I think is a major plus.
Yeah, there's no Mr. Fusion on the top of it either.
Exactly. So I'm like, wow, it's just putting it in there when I told it once and it did it. This is awesome.
Okay.
My only complaint I have, not complaint, that's not the right word. My only thing that I'd like to change, and it's probably a setting that I have not found yet,
mm-hmm.
is... Once I've listened to a podcast, mark it as played automatically or delete it. That I haven't found yet. I've still had to go in and delete it myself.
No, you okay? I don't have it on me right now. There's in the settings. There's a keep all.
Mm-hmm.
If you go under there, I think
last three. That's what I have.
No, but there's also up there. I think it's keep all. It says delete once played.
Okay. See, that's what I have to find. Because what I did is I manually deleted it, mm-hmm. and then naturally the next day rolls around and it automatically downloads it again. And I thought, well, I've already listened to it. Why
that's because it's part of the last three. Yeah, you don't want to do this thing, but you just say download the most recent because you're always going to be up to date.
Right, so, and that's yeah. Oh, actually, thanks for that, because there's one podcast I'm 17 behind. I discovered it. It's a
that's okay, because you know what you can do. You can just do the most recent, and then you can always go into the podcast.
Yeah,
and you can always download older ones, and you do that manually.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. That's a good point.
That's what I do, because there's a couple new podcasts, the best show. What's it called? Oh, God.
Best episode ever.
Yeah, best episode
new
ever.
New season has begun.
Has it? Oh, I can't wait.
Look at my note there. It says BE up carrot
2. Oh, that's what that new is. Season. Okay. Yes, because I liked it so much, listened to the most current one, I went back and downloaded all their older ones.
Are they on iTunes?
So, I don't know.
Yes, I believe they are.
Okay. Hmm. I mean, if not, you should be able to add it manually.
I would imagine.
And their new show.
Yeah, that new show sounds interesting too.
The Variety Hour, yeah.
Yes.
It was a hoot.
Marshall McLuhan.
I gotta look it up now.
Marshall McLuhan.
Yeah.
I had to do a report on him in college. Yeah. He's the one that said media is the message.
Oh, okay. That sounds very Anthony-ish.
Yes, I'll have to go find that one. I meant to, because I was listening to Bob whatever number, Bob Stuff, and he mentioned it. So those guys are good together.
I was listening to Bob Stuff on the way home, and then the next thing I did is, while I was still towing the trailer, I downloaded Marshall whatever.
Okay, yeah, I got to sign up for that one, definitely. But now there was one other thing I noticed, and this may be because I didn't give it time. I will say on the plus side for the podcast app, because they've got it down via the iCloud, that they do sync between devices very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Downcast, well, in the past has had some issues with that, and sometimes they come out of sync and you've got to jump through and, you know, twist around and light a couple candles and kiss a wart on a frog to get them to resync together. They've improved over each edition in Downcast, but Downcast sometimes waits a little bit before it syncs up when you bring the app up, but it eventually does. Matter of fact, I'll be sitting there looking on like my iPhone 4, and it's got all the old ones I listened to. I said I've already listened to those, right? So it's already starting to download new ones, and all of a sudden I see podcasts starting to disappear in the list because it's syncing up now. And I could be wrong about this, but the one thing I did notice, and I didn't test it that much on podcast app, was it sunk up and you got all the additions episodes of your podcast. However, I never got mine to sync up. Say I'm halfway through an episode in Downcast. When it syncs up, it's actually got a pointer to where you left off in the episode.
Yep.
Somewhere else. But in the podcast app, it didn't seem to be doing that. It was sync up, but I was always at the beginning of the episode, even though I was about halfway through it on another device.
Well, you know that what do you want to call it? Timer bar tracker. Basically, you can grab a bar and slide it forward and get further into the podcast and skip past. Well, once you find that menu, it actually shows you what a red line where you left off.
Really? Oh, okay. So, okay.
Now, I haven't done it. How do I want to word this so it's accurate? I've not done it across multiple Apple devices. I don't listen to podcasts off the Mac Mini. And I obviously haven't listened to them. I don't listen to them off of my laptop through iTunes. Right. It's always been on just this phone. Mm-hmm. But I have had to stop listening to podcasts and, you know, take care of something, blah, 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 blah. Went and listened to another one, played with a bunch of other apps, decided, oh, yeah, I tried. I didn't finish listening. Went back to it, and it showed me exactly where I left off and would pick up where I left off at.
Okay, that's and that's on your own phone. What I was doing is switching devices.
Oh, yeah, iPad to iPhone.
Yeah,
to...
and I do listen to podcasts. It depends on where I am. I'll listen to them either on the iPad or I'll listen to them on the iPhone. At night, I'll switch over to the iPhone 4 because I'm putting the iPhone 5 in for charging. Mm-hmm. And at least with Downcast, it's nice that I can stop what I'm listening to on the iPhone 5, you know, put it in its rocker and give it a couple minutes because it does take some time to sync up. But once it's synced up, I hit that podcast that I was listening to on the iPhone 5. I push play on the iPhone 4 and it's right where I left off on 5.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a plus. And again, like I said, I didn't do an extensive test on the podcast app, but
right.
A couple times I tried it and I didn't give it much time. It wasn't doing that, but I didn't check to see if there was a red line that you could move up to. So I'll have to check that out.
That's what I found on the phone anyway.
Yeah. So the good thing is you've got something decent to listen to podcasts to now.
And, oh, very much so.
And that's very cool. Because you will find that you're using the phone a lot for podcasts.
Yeah, I actually listen nonstop now on my way to work, my way home from work, and even when I'm sitting around, I just listen to podcasts now.
Mm. Now, I did something at work. My work is they don't like you doing certain things on company computers and stuff, and that one of those things is downloading your own apps and things like that or programs, and they frown upon that, and frankly, you don't have admin privileges to do that anyway, so most of the time you couldn't if you wanted to, but being a good employee, I don't mess with that. But I did notice, because they do have iPhones, and they do have iPads that they use at work, they have a version of iTunes. It's not the latest and greatest yet, but it's the one just behind this, and I said, oh, look, I can download this from our official site software thing because it's validated. So I downloaded iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I couldn't get to my music from in the cloud, right. But I could get to the radio stations, and not iTunes radio, but on iTunes, they also have a radio thing where you can get to streaming radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that I can stream those radio stations on my computer at work.
Sweet.
And they can't yell at me because I'm using officially approved software.
Right.
For the company.
You guys gave it to us to use.
Now, it doesn't mean that somewhere down the road, the streaming radio stations I'm listening to suddenly don't work anymore.
Right.
After they, sniff out somebody streaming. Kill it.
Oh, my God. Kill it.
But
I'm using bandwidth.
I discovered this amazing... And I don't know whether it's a real radio station. I think it's only an internet radio station. It's called K-Rob, K-R-O-B. And it's located on the Delmarva Peninsula. In other words, it's in Maryland, basically, because the eastern shore of Maryland, there's where Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia all have a little chunk of that peninsula. And that part is called the Delmarva area. And... this thing, if you like 70s music, okay, they play nonstop 70s and early 80s music.
Right.
And every once in a while, like I'm saying about every 15 to 20 minutes, they'll play a couple commercials and then they go right back into the music. And they also, I think there's a community... Or they take me, you know, they have a couple commercials, but they also take donations from people to keep the radio, this radio station going. But I got to tell you, not only is the music good and stuff you haven't heard since the 70s, because, you know, when they say the 70s now on most stations, you get this hit set that you always hear the same songs from the
same
70s.
Ones. Right.
You don't hear all the other ones that were semi-hits and stuff like that. Right. This one, it's like, and the way they run it, it sounds just like a top 40 station back in the 70s.
Like Casey Kasem.
Just, I mean, it's like that. The music never ends. They go from one song right into the next song, and they'll have a DJ there that might talk it up a little bit. They'll play three... Is that K-Rob?
Yes, it is. K-Rob.com.
Awesome. awesome.
And I
was doing a commercial right now.
Yeah. But I have been enjoying the hell out of that at work. The K-Rob, because it just takes me right back to, like, you know, the 70s.
Right.
And they play good music, too. And like I said, I think they dip into the early 80s, too, a bit. But if you get a chance, check out K-Rob, because it is cool. It really is. And so, because I only get two radio stations on the radio in my office, and they both suck. And they play the same 10 songs every day of the year.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what stations you're talking about.
Oh, God, they're hideous.
And you're not the first one I've heard say that, too. Yeah. It's I have a buddy of mine who, you know, where he works, they can listen. He said, I am so sick and tired of that same radio station. He said, the same damn 10 songs for 10 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's if I hear Crazy Train again, I'm going to die. Every day, Crazy Train plays. Yeah, it's an oldie. There's been lots of oldies back then. Let's play something other than Crazy Train.
That's too funny.
Yeah, anyway. Okay. So, that was our Apple Talk for the week.
Playing Boston right now.
Are they? Yes.
Oh, No. Take it. Not Boston.
Well, turn it up and let's find out. Just quickly. Sure. We can.
Big old jet airliner.
Oh, okay. That's not Boston.
No, I know it's not.
It probably tells you up on it.
No, it says error. Cannot parse string. It's scrolling. Oh, here we go. I need a patch cable. Patch it right in.
You know what I did? I have, and this is what made me turn to this. I have, at work, it's a radio, but it's also a CD player. And even though I'm in an area where, let's put it this way, I have to bring in the CDs and get them all approved, and I can play them only in the CD player. Well, the CD player broke.
Oh, damn it.
And I'm like, oh. So all I got left are these two radio stations that play that's all I've got left. Well, then I found K-Rock, and I was pumping it out of the little PC's speaker, which was okay, but it kind of sucked. So I got a patch cord, and I plugged it into the back of the PC, the headphones, speakers out, and then I had an auxiliary in on that radio. So I put that auxiliary in, and now I've got nice stereo coming out.
Nice!
All okay. And, so it works great. And nobody would know the difference. They think it's coming out of the radio.
No. Nah, you got it all figured out.
Of course, I'm giving away all my secrets. But K-Rob Radio, though, I'm telling you, Michael, if you like listening to music while you're coding, you know, that kind of music, that just takes you back, man.
I've just bookmarked it. And guess who their lead DJ is?
Who?
Rob. It's named after him.
You know, I haven't gone on the podcast yet because the webpage. I haven't gone on their webpage.
It's krob.com.
Okay. Because
it's krobradio.com.
Because I listen to it through iTunes. Because if I listen to it through the web browser, I'm afraid they'll block it.
Right.
So I just listen to it through iTunes. Very good radio station. I love it. So
that looks cool.
Very cool. Yeah. So, in other news this week, there was a big, as everybody knows, maybe you don't know, Twitter decided to go IPA. And, so they put themselves up on the market and people went crazy. And unfortunately, a lot of people that were trying to buy Twitter stock, mistakenly bought stock, and you'll know it. I don't know whether Michael will know about this, but Joel, I know you'll know about this. They accidentally bought stock in a defunct store, big box store, called Tweeter.
They bought Tweeter stock.
Which is pretty much like penny stock now because they went bankrupt a couple of years ago.
Yeah, the stores don't exist anymore.
Yeah, they've all closed up shop. I don't know whether they've got if they're online or not.
That's a good question. I should check the Book of Knowledge.
Yeah. But so a bunch of them accidentally. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, look, you bought crap. I guess they have to legitimately sell it. I don't know whether they're going to lose money on it or not, but they all thought they were buying into Twitter, and it was actually Tweeter.
Oh, look at this. Tweeter shares rocket 1,800% after news of Twitter's IPO. 1,800% they went up.
Wow, they could almost open a store again.
No kidding. Oh, my friggin' God, that's too funny.
Yeah.
And then there's a story right here on CNBC.com.
Yeah.
Which is Tweeter isn't Twitter, but people are still throwing money at it. How you like that?
Yeah. That used to be, that was actually in the Northeast here, actually New England area. There were stores called Tweeter. There were like big box stores that sold audio equipment. I don't know what they sold. TVs. I guess they probably sold TVs.
Yeah. It was basically the predecessor to Best Buy.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because around here you went to a Tweeter store.
Yep.
Yeah, Boston area. But they were known to sell. They also sold a high end type audio equipment too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they did.
That you wouldn't find in other generic big box stores.
Right.
So, but hard times hit them. So the other thing that happened this week in internet news is Facebook has decided that they're going to place ads in Instagram. You know, Facebook bought Instagram and they were going to leave it alone just the way it was.
Not going to touch it. Yep.
Not going to touch it. Now they're touching it now.
And of course they are.
I guess you're going to get ads in between your pictures or something.
I am so glad I don't Facebook or Instagram. There are so many times I say to myself, boy, was that a good call.
The ads are getting kind of annoying in the Facebook news feed now, too.
Yep.
Because they look like an actual, story or somebody posting something, and then you go, oh, that's a freaking ad. Oh, I'm getting some echo.
They put the company icon. Yeah, I don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah, every once in a while it happens on Skype, and then it starts disappearing. It's a feature of the new Skype.
It's a Jedi mind trick.
One thing that I've noticed tonight, my Skype has not reset once.
No, it has not.
But I'm running the gold master of an unnamed operating system that was released this week.
Yes, I understand that is, and that'll probably be announced in this month. Probably.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
But well, I've noticed a definite difference.
Really? Your Skype hasn't dumped out. It hasn't modulated.
It's clear. No? It's very clear. You sound like you're right next door. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Yeah.
And Joel, I don't know whether I think I text you this, Walmart
has
dropped the prices of the iPhone 5C to about $45 with a contract.
Yeah, with a 2-year contract.
Right.
So that then, following your text, prompted me to take a look and see with my wife's cell phone carrier to see if they've done, like, because you made the suggestion that perhaps other cell phone carriers are following suit.
Will, yeah. And
their prices have gone down. Not that low, but they have definitely gone down.
Okay. But does she want to go? She doesn't want to be cooped up with a contract. She just.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. No, she's really happy with her carrier. And I think, which is, Virgin US and Virgin Mobile US. And quite honestly, I think when she has a superior handset in her hand to use, like an iPhone, it's just going to get that much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's good. But that's good. That's good news because Walmart might be the first, and also Staples started selling Apple products. Not the full up PCs or you know Apple MacBooks or things like that, but all the accessories. I don't know whether they're selling iPhones or not, but they are selling iPads, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. So they're...
Well, you went. My beautiful bride and I went to the Apple store just to look at those. Hmm. Just yesterday.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What the iPads?
Yeah, I wanted to take a look at the iPad minis.
Okay. And, there's going to be announcements about them coming up this month, just to let you know.
Okay.
Just to let you know. Whatever you want to buy, it'll probably get cheaper.
Whatever you want.
Although there's rumors that they're having problems with the mini iPads, iPad minis, because they're late to the market on the 7-inch size.
Yeah.
And so all the other Android folks and people that are making 7-inch size are occupying all the
7-inch users.
The developers, or not developers, manufacturers.
Really?
Parts, yeah. So that's what happens when you're a little late.
Yeah, I just think it's a super convenient size.
Yeah, I definitely think, like I said, I might get a Nexus 7 for that size. And but I use my iPad all the time.
Right.
Yeah, you know, for reading and stuff like that. So, Michael, as we said, the BE2 new season has begun. Now, I don't remember, maybe I did download it. I just haven't gotten to it yet. Should go check on that. So
I saved it for my trip tomorrow.
Okay. All right. And new one, we're going to have definitely, we've already talked about that. Now, what?
Right.
Now, you were flashing?
Big pardon?
Or, you know, the problem was I wasn't flashing anymore.
Oh, okay.
I covered that in the podcast that shall not be named. But, I got back. Nobody's caught on the fact that I'm on the road again tomorrow. But
yes, well, I heard you say several times you're back on the road, but are you actually using the Jeep?
Yeah, I have to. I'm doing another 350 miles tomorrow.
You know, one of these days your luck's going to run out.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it. This meeting, this person I'm meeting with is a customer, but they requested the meeting. They were going to fly up here.
Right.
And somebody in their company said, no, we'll fly you to Milwaukee. Just a little bit of a drive up to Iron Mountain. I'd like... It's a four-hour drive to Iron Mountain for both of us.
Oh, wow.
As opposed to he could have just, you know, taken a connection flight out of Chicago and been here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's 45 minutes to the airport from here, but it's here. Anyhow, so last Monday, I'm driving down to Illinois because it was my mom's birthday.
Uh-huh.
And, again, it was a little bit on the tired side after... being home for less than 24 hours again. And I'm coming through Milwaukee. I'm heading west. I'm driving into the sun. I've got all this oily residue coming out from under my hood, which is getting on my windshield. So my windshield's starting to glare badly. Fortunately, I knew where I was going because driving through Milwaukee it's not all right-hand turns. It's lefts and rights. You got to know which lane you got to be in. I couldn't read the signs. I could barely see the lanes at times, you know, the markers form, as I'm going into the sun, and my turn signals quit.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Just nothing. It's not like the light's coming on when I turn the turn signal stick. It's just nothing. So I'm opening the window, trying to do arm signals in rush hour traffic. That didn't go over too well.
Oh,
so I get to Woodstock, and sure enough, I've got no hazards, I've got no turn signals, and I'm not worried about it at that point. I have a nice dinner with my mom. Next day, I take care of stuff around the house. It's got to get fixed. I said, okay, I'm going to grab the flasher out of this thing and run down the auto parts store and get one so I don't have to deal with this on the way home. Well, it's not in the manual anywhere. I look. It's not in the fuse box under the dash. It's not in the fuse box under the hood. So I start flipping the turn signal arm, and I can just barely hear this click, and I can tell it's on the driver's side. So I pull the driver's side dash panel off. Nothing. It's in the steering column. So I take the cowling off the steering column, drop the thing, and there's just they've got this mega switch that's the turn signal and the bright switch and the windshield wipers.
Everything combined into one.
Everything combined into one big module. And I know because I have a spare one here at the garage, which does me no good. I know you're going to be shocked at this, but I wore the ignition switch out about 2 years ago.
I can believe that. Your keys dangling down it.
Yeah, well, again, it's the keys in the midnight 911 calls. I wasn't too gentle on the ignition switch under those circumstances.
You're slamming the key in and just cranking and reefing off.
The only way I could replace, I couldn't buy just the switch. I wound up having to buy an entire steering column out of a junkyard.
Mm-hmm.
So, except that they'd already taken the airbag out of it. I guess there's a big resale market on that. But I guess I got a steering column. I got a spare steering column for my Jeep. So I've got that mega switch and everything. But it was here, and I was 465 miles away. So I dig into this module, and there's a plug-in flasher with a Chrysler number on it. Of course, not a standard number. And the long story is, I went to four different auto parts stores who wanted anywhere from $140 to $80 for this flasher. Mm-hmm. Although I'm sure what they were getting was the entire mega switch.
Right.
Nobody had it in stock. Got to the fourth auto parts store. The guy goes, nope, I don't have it. I'm like, yeah, I've been hearing that. And he goes, but I can have it here tomorrow morning. It's at a warehouse in Chicago. And I'm like, really? You're going to get it from Chicago? It was like 8 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night, something like that, one in there. And he goes, yeah, we'll have it here. They asked, you know, they asked me to pay in advance, which I was a little skittish about because I was like, you know, guys, I got to leave by 11 tomorrow morning. You know, it's not, you know, there's not an option here. And they're like, no, we'll get it to you. We'll give you your money back. And they did get it to me.
Nice.
Almost $32 for a flasher.
Wow. So much for 10 bucks.
Yeah. Well, but, I said in the podcast, if it had been, I needed it. And if it had been the first auto parts store, I probably wouldn't have gotten it. But when I saw other stores, you know, listing it at 80 bucks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I need it. It's a safety issue.
And like you had pointed out on the podcast that shall not be named, people don't know what the hand signals are for left turn, right turn anymore.
No, not anymore.
They just see what they consider to be some knucklehead hanging his left arm out the window, the driver's side window of a Jeep.
Right.
Yeah. They don't know. Why does he have his arm bent up like that? What's it mean when it's out straight?
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. I mean, that used to be the way they did it on cars until
that was required learning.
Well, yeah, you had to know it for the test.
Required learning for the test. You know, I don't believe it is anymore.
Of course, I learned it in bicycle safety training we had in elementary school because it's the same signs when you're on a bike.
Up, out, and down. You're going to slow down. Put your arm down.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
That's your hand was your brake light.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now somebody would blow by and rip your arm from your socket.
Or rip your arm right out of the socket.
Wow. So, where were you last Sunday, Michael?
Well, you know, I was coming back from, what was it? Yeah, that was, I was coming back from the paramedic refresher.
Mm-hmm.
And I had every intention of making the show, but I knew, I mean, it was the main reason why I was coming back was to see my wife and kids. Hi, I'm your husband, your dad.
Yeah,
and I figured I was going to get a service trip in, take care of a couple of things, jump through dinner real quick, and then get on the show. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, I was a little overbooked.
Now, this service stuff, this was internet service?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was gone for a week, and a couple people had some. Well, it was another picture on Facebook you may or may not have seen. I was standing on somebody's porch railing with a 900 megahertz receiver in my hand, stretched out trying to get a signal. If you didn't see it, I'll forward it to you.
I don't know whether I saw that one or not.
I can guarantee you I didn't.
Yeah. Well, I got through that call, and that ran longer than I thought it was going to, and then I ran to the next call. And it's getting close to showtime, and I realized, wait a minute, I'm at a site that I'm trying to fix the internet. I can't even tell them I'm not going to make the show now. So yeah, I'm trying to get things hooked up, and I get enough bandwidth where I could text my my kids through Skype that I was running really, really late. And that's when you guys saw me come on Skype.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have enough bandwidth to do any audio.
Okay. Yeah, I saw you pop on, and then you popped off.
Yeah, that's that, and that wound up not working. I wound up my kids got a hold of me and said, Mom wants to go eat. And I'm like, yep, okay, that's why I'm home. So I ran to the Mariner. Actually drove to the Mariner that time. I didn't run. And had dinner with my wife and kids. And then I went back to that site and finished that service call. And then it was about 10 o'clock or so when I got back to the man cave. It was just enough time for me to throw the Mac Mini on and see Barry's icon on Skype disappear. So I'm sorry, guys. I tried, but I really overbooked myself last Sunday night.
Yeah.
And I missed all this great talk about Jeeps, too. Damn.
Yeah, we did that on purpose.
Well, I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at stuff for him right now. I just found myself something has caught my eye.
Okay, well, let's stay in bottom gear for a bit, then.
Oh, did you say... Did you say... Bottom gear?
Yes.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Jeep Bottom Gear. I am one of your hosts, Joel, and I will roll right into this 1991 Jeep Wrangler YJ that I've just found online with 162,000 miles, six-cylinder, five-speed transmission for $1,500.
Wait a minute. See. It says Copper Harbor, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. This one says
low mileage.
Says runs well, needs work before it'll be completely roadworthy. Boyfriend bought it as a project, but is now deployed. He doesn't want it to sit and rot. Needs to get rid of it.
I got to tell you that on my way home, I noticed. Actually, I took a picture and I forgot to post it for you guys. It was a crappy picture anyway, but as you go around the 101 bypass and you make the left-hand turn at the traffic light to go into Wilton by the DMV area there, for all you people that know how I commute, there's the vacant lot that's right across the street, kind of on the left side. Yeah, there was two Jeeps sitting there, a white one, and I think a green one, and it said both of them were for sale. Really? Of course, that's a place I can't stop and take a look at them. I could pull over, but that's a place where, you know, once you make the turn, you start and you're right in front of them. That's where all the cars are merging from two lanes down to one lane. So, yeah, I noticed that the other day, and and there's one up in Peterborough that's for sale too. A green one.
A green. There's a red one on 124 for sale too.
Really? Where?
Just before you get to New Ipswich.
Oh, down there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been down that way in a while.
That would explain why I didn't see it.
Yeah.
So. But no, I'm actually looking, and it's oddly enough, it's one of the best places to get Jeep parts, which is J.C. Whitney.
Oh, yes. Whitney catalog.
Yeah, absolutely. And I am sitting here looking at it right now. And a big thing with rust that you find on a lot of the YJs and the TJs. But here we go, which is fiberglass fenders for $186 a piece.
Mm.
No more rust to have to worry about. So it's like, oh, the rust needs fixed.
You can basically buy an entire Jeep online piece by piece.
Yep.
Maybe I should do it that way. By the way, I was talking to him yesterday when we were driving all over doing the Leaf Peeper thing. I was slowly convincing my wife, you know, that would be a good winter car to have to get through the snow. And she goes, Jeep? Why? I said, it's got four-wheel drive.
True. True, posi four-wheel drive. You can lock it in and go.
Maybe Michael knows why they're called YJ and TJ.
TJ.
I heard that on the show. And no, I don't.
Okay.
I like the trending in the yuppie Jeep.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Every time I see TJ now, it's trendy Jeep, and YJ is yuppie Jeep, and CJ is civilian Jeep.
Yeah. Michael, thank you. You've got us hooked on looking at Jeeps.
Yes, very much so, very seriously.
And really, for me, you know, after I saw your Jeep and the antennas on the back, it just looks cool.
He needs something with antennas. I'm going to get him a little red wagon with antennas.
Yeah. Mine is a TJ, by the way.
A trendy Jeep?
Well, it's a yep. TJ.
Ah.
Trendy Jeep. TJ.
Wow. And what year is yours? We're trying to remember. Is it 2000?
2001.
2001. Okay. It's a 2001 yeah. Trendy Jeep.
Yeah. No, trendy Jeeps never go off-road.
Oh.
Yes. They call them Barbie Jeeps.
Barbie Jeeps.
Barbie Jeeps never see dirt or off-road.
My Jeep love it. Loves mud. Although, you know, there was Jeep comes up here to do a lot of promo photos and mm-hmm. testing for their vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
The engineers and I get along fine. The marketing guys, I was at the general store one night about 2 years ago, and just went in there to get some beverage. I don't remember what the particular beverage was that night. I'm sure it had alcohol in it. And about four brand new, yet to be announced Jeeps showed up in the parking lot. And, you know, I just gave the respect I give any other Jeep owner. Mm-hmm. And this guy jumps out of this brand new shiny Jeep in a suit and tie, looks at my Jeep and goes, "A bit dirty, isn't it?" and walks in the store.
Are you serious? Like,
you piece of slime.
It's a Jeep, you jackass, not a Mercedes.
You're right.
You should have walked in and said, "Hey, you want to get that Barbie Jeep out of the..."
Exactly. Gonna have that one posed for any more pictures where you can splash a little water on the tires?
Yep. I'm sure that's not the norm for the group, but this one guy was a real slammer.
Yeah,
no, you know what? Exactly. Marketing sales promo.
Yeah, it was funny because after last week's show. Yeah, was it last week's show? We were YouTubing again, looking at all the cheap stuff on
YouTube. I'm doing it again now.
The show goes on after we're done recording.
It goes on for about another hour and a half.
We just hang out and look at YouTube.
You know, speaking of that, you know, why didn't we start doing this on like Friday nights when we really could just keep going into the night and not worry about getting up for work in the morning?
I don't know. I don't know how we got stuck on Sunday nights. And it was a convolution of things. But yeah, well, we can always maybe think about switching it sometime.
Work for me.
Yeah.
I mean, Friday nights, I don't do anything.
It would work better for me. We're doing this on the air. Sorry, folks.
We might just switch.
I was thinking, like, you know, we're always, we do the show, and then we do the show after the show. And then we're, you know, we're just really getting into it. Like, oh, I got to get up at 5. It's like, so why the hell are we doing this on Sunday night?
We used to do it on Wednesday.
It was better than Wednesday. But still, like, well, we did this on Friday, then maybe we don't have to get up at 5 in the morning.
Yeah. My only problem is every once in a while we go out to dinner on a Friday night. But but if we start at a later time.
It could be late, you know.
Yeah. It could really be a late night QR.
It truly, because it's not like it's not a school night. We don't got to get up and go to school in the morning.
We'll have to think about that. Because that's the only problem with doing late night QRM on Sunday nights. We all have to get up early the next day.
At the crack of dawn and then try and start the week.
Of course, here's Michael complaining about Sunday nights, recording on Sunday nights, and probably after we get done here and then we do the post show for a while, then he's going to go, well, I'm going down to the Mariner and get some dinner.
Yep.
Well, I may play some steel tip darts later, but...
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Actually, I have to leave at 5 in the morning.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so you're... Your night's limited, yeah. After, you know, by the time you get done here and you go on 3 calls and...
Well, not tonight.
So, and you wind up the rubber band in your Jeep.
Get along, little gerbils.
All right. So, I'm reading.
It's all the topics, but wait a minute. Flash.
No, I'd probably save some of those for later.
Okay. All right.
At least I hope the bottom one's done by the next show.
Oh, yeah. No kidding, huh?
You want to save that for next time? Because we are running a tad long now.
Yeah, we'll save those for later.
We've gone about 2 hours, maybe longer. And so we do have a musical guest tonight. The musical guest is, let me, I got to blow this up so I can see it. Old eyes. It's Beat Circuit with Micro Mystical, and it's the original mix. But before we hear the group Beat Circuit, we'd like to say thank you to all the military out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, and at least you guys haven't been furloughed, and you're still getting your pay. However, they closed all the commissaries down, which is stupid. But you know what? Walmart, aka Sam's Club, did a wonderful thing. They said, if you're active duty in the military, if you have a military card, whether you're retired or active duty, and you can't get into the commissaries to do your shopping, yeah, we'll let you into Sam's Club with just showing your military ID. And kudos for those guys, because absolutely, this is stupid. These are the people and their families that defend this country, and you're closing the frickin' commissary down on them. You barely pay them enough money to survive already, and then you close the commissaries. Really? Really? I don't even want to call him president. Really, Obama?
Exactly.
You and your group are assholes. Assholes to do this kind of stuff. It doesn't need to be done.
Well,
get over it. Politics aside, if you're trying to make a point, you're making the wrong point, let me tell you, because I know more people are getting pissed off about what you're doing to the military out there and what you're doing to the greatest generation out there that are just trying to get into D.C. By these honor flights, with, you know, to see their memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And you're blocking a 24/7 available memorial. You're purposely putting barricades up. These guys may not have it tomorrow.
Well, can you say impeachment?
It won't happen.
No, it won't, but you can say it.
You can say it.
It feels good to say it.
It just, it really disgusts me to, I feel disgusted for this country.
Literally sick yes, to my stomach.
I'm sick. This is not the country that I knew, that no, I grew up knowing. And it's horrible. And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Guys, these politicians have got to go. Everybody, get out and vote next time and vote third party. Get these assholes out of office. Absolutely. Both sides.
Give them the big flush.
Both sides. They don't deserve to be in office.
They've gotten fat on our tax dollars, on our backs, and they're getting rich, and they're screwing over everybody who keeps this country working. And so, quite frankly, flush them.
And people are saying, well, we don't want a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing in there. We don't know what these third-party people are like. It's like, well, guess what? It can't be any worse than what we got right now.
Exactly. I mean, and let's face it, this guy on Pennsylvania Avenue wasn't exactly qualified for the job to begin with.
I mean, jeez.
And then he had all his cronies come in.
Yeah. Typical Chicago mob style.
His czars.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So you know where we come down on this. You military guys, thank you for what you're doing. You guys, military, especially
anti-liberal.
OCONUS guys out there, thanks for what you're doing, and we hope you get home to your family and friends real soon. And until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So with that, from the southwest corner, where it's peak week of New Hampshire, I am Barry.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, where it doesn't matter because there ain't shit to look at anyway, this is Joel.
And where people are setting up tripods in the middle of blind corners over hills on our covered roads for leaf beeping, I'm
on
Michael,
your front
the virtual
lawn.
Heaper.
In his front yard. This is the trail. No, it's not. It's my yard. Get out.
All right, everybody, we'll see you next week for show 112. Until then, here's Beat Circuit. Micro Mystical. Samson, speak! Good boy.